good. That song there is such a beautiful reminder of how great our God is, right? He is so good, and that's a great reminder for you and I just to dive into that and to be reminded of who our God is and how He's working in our lives. And if you're joining us for the first time today, we launched a series starting last Sunday talking about how do we experience God every single day? How do we experience His goodness? How do we have this deep and intimate relationship with Him? And last week, we talked about how do I understand the Bible better? Because to experience God every single day, sometimes we got to get down to the very practical level of our relationship with God. And how do we navigate that? And what does that look like for my life? Not just on Sunday, but on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. And how does God interact with us on a daily basis? And so today we're tackling the big question, what is God's will for my life? What is God's will for my life? And so hopefully by the end of this, I hope in one aspect that some weight is taken off your shoulders, and two, that you get some clarity on how do I find the answer to this question? How do I navigate this in my life? And I believe that Scripture, and then you're going to see here today how we pull these answers and what this looks like for you and I. So let me pray for us, ask God to speak to our hearts. And each week I tell everybody that each one could be an entire series. And so we're doing it by one Sunday. And so we're going to dive right in and get right to it here this morning so we can fit it all in and we're not here all afternoon, right? You would appreciate that, right? Okay. But let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You so much for Your word, Your truth, and Your power. God, I pray that the Holy Spirit would just illuminate the next steps that You're asking us to take. God, I pray that if anybody walked into this place and they're just overwhelmed and tired and exhausted and not sure what to do, God, I pray that You would speak to their hearts. I pray that You would give peace, that You would give comfort, that You would give wisdom and direction. God, I pray that I will decrease so that You may increase. And that You would speak through me, and that we would open up Your word, and Your word would be what speaks to our hearts and guides us and directs us. And we ask all this in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen, amen. So as we look at this question, what is God's will for my life? I believe we have to start with the reality and the revelation for each and every person that is in this room, can hear my voice online, is that God has a plan and a purpose for your life. God has a plan and a purpose for your life. And I believe that all of us have to come to that revelation because that is what begins to stir us of going, okay, I believe that God has a plan for me, but what does that plan look like? And if you're joining this church scene or first starting a relationship with God, or maybe you don't even have a relationship with God, or maybe you don't believe in God, you may ask the question this way, why am I here? What is my purpose? You may ask that question, right? Why am I on this planet? What have I been called to do? What am I being led to do? Or what is in me? You may ask the question if you don't know God. What is in me that I can contribute to this world? And so I want to give you and I, as we look at Scripture, that we have a Creator. And by design, He knew that you would be on the planet in this generation, in this moment, in this time, in this season. In fact, He knew that you would be here today hearing this message. And I believe that God has a plan and a purpose for your life. And I see this in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. And it says this. It says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." This is an incredible verse, that we are God's workmanship, that created in the image of God, and He's created us for good works. Look at this, and then another layer is that God prepared these good works beforehand. So He has these laid out in front of us, plans for you and I to walk in and to walk with, that He already foreknew and laid these out for you and I. How encouraging is that to know that God has plans for you? You're not forgotten. You're not left to the side. All of those different aspects. God loves you so much that He sent His one and only Son, Jesus, to die on the cross that those who believe in Him would be set free and that we could walk into these plans that He has for you. And I think that's a big idea. But we look at that verse, and we look at God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. But I think if we're honest with each other, that's a little lofty, right? To begin to think about, Well, what are those plans, right? Because we have the own voices in our mind that are telling us one thing. Then we may have the world that is telling us another thing. We may have friends that are close to us. And notice that they have opinions as well of how we should live our lives and the direction we should go and what that should look like. And it begins to pull us in a million different directions. So we may ask the question, but what is God's will for me? What do those plans look like for me? And for you and I, what I would like for us to do is we are going to help answer the question, what is God's will for my life? But I believe a better question to ask first, a better place to start, is that if we take a few words off of that question. And so the question I would love to pose to you and I first is, what is God's will? What is God's will? And the reason why I believe this is a better question is because if you noticed on the question, what is God's will for my life, we're taking ourselves out of the equation for the moment, right? We're looking to our Creator. We're looking to the one who created us and go, what was your original intent? What is your will for humanity, for people? What is your will in Scripture that you and I can see? And I thought about it this way. It's baseball season. Any baseball fans in the house? No, one. Okay, that's kind of good. But as you think about baseball, what if we went to the MLB baseball park and we walked onto the field and we walked up to some of the best hitters in the league and we said, you know what? I love when you walk up to the plate and you're able to hit a home run and that is so fat and the crowd cheers. I want to do that too. How do I hit a home run? And they may look at us and go like, almost flabbergasted, like, don't even know what to say. Well, do you know how to hit a baseball, right? Like, do you know what ounce bat that you should use? You know, like, where did you grow up playing baseball? Do you know how to tell if a curve is coming off the fingers or a fastball or a changeup, right? They begin to ask us all these questions, and then we step back and go, ooh, oh, I don't know, right? Like, I need to consider all of those, right? Or maybe you say, I want to write a book. I want to be an author. And we go find an author and go, I want to be an author. I want to be able to write a book. And they go, oh, okay. Well, do you know about sentence structure? Can you put some, do you have some, all these ideas that you want to put into place and write them in an engaging way to put a verb here and an adverb there and a comma here? And do you have an editor? Do you have a publisher, right? And then all of a sudden they lay all this out and you're going, ooh, yeah, maybe I need to answer those questions first, right? And I feel like sometimes when we come with that big, lofty question of what is God's will for my life, God is going, hey, there's some things underneath that if you'll understand first, it'll lead you to that big question that you have in your life. It'll guide you and direct you. And it's like us asking the question first, God, what is your will for my life? And we see this is going to be our base verse today, but in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is teaching. And he's trying to teach you and I here in this particular chapter. He's trying to get our eyes off of the issues that are in front of us and to get them back onto him. He's saying that the weight of the world, you're trying to carry it and you're trying to figure out what tomorrow is going to look like. And you're trying to have all the answers for tomorrow. And Jesus almost redirects them a little bit. And this is what he tells them here in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. He says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And then he goes on in verse 34. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. I mean, that's a verse centered in reality, right? Of going, wow, today does have enough trouble for itself. And when my mind starts to go into tomorrow, and then the next month, and the next month, and the next month, I start creating these scenarios in my mind, these arguments in my mind, and all of a sudden the weight of the world gets stronger and stronger and stronger, and the worry and the anxiety and the fear, because oftentimes we feel the gaps with those worries, right? Oh, I don't know what's going to happen, and what's this, and I don't have clarity, so what does this look like? And Jesus almost refocuses us, and he goes, hey, let me take some weight off. He says, seek me first. I am your creator. I knew you before you were in your mother's womb. I know every hair that is on your head. I know everything that is in you, all your desires, all of your strong points, your giftedness, your weaknesses. He's like, I know all of that. He said, I want you to seek me first. Why? Because I created you. And because he loves us more than we can ever ask, think, or imagine. He says, seek me first and my righteousness. And he says, I'll begin to show you and navigate your way. And so for you and I, when we understand what is God's will, I think we have to look at that through a couple different layers or a couple different lenses. And the first one for you and I is that God has what we're going to call a general will for every human being on the planet. So every person falls underneath this general will of God that he has and he wants for you, for me, for every person you're going to meet, for your kids, for all of these people. There is a general will, this umbrella, so to speak, that everybody can live this way and fall underneath the umbrella of living in God's will. And we see this throughout Scripture, and that's what he's trying to get us to in Matthew chapter 6. He's saying, seek me first, because then you're going to understand what my will is, and I'm going to help you navigate what this looks like. Because first and foremost, for every single person in this room, for every single person on this planet, what God wants is a relationship with you. The first thing that he wants for your life is for you to surrender your life and to place your faith in him so that you can enter into a relationship with him, to enter into this deep, intimate, close-knit relationship with him. And he is going to put people and things and circumstances in your life so that you will navigate to that one main large decision, and then everything outside of that will begin to cascade down. This past week, I got a chance to ride to Augusta. I didn't go to the Masters, but we're just heading over that way, meeting up with some old friends. And between here and Augusta, if you've ever driven that path, it's a whole bunch of country roads. I mean, there is nothing out there but farmland and all of these things. And so we head off to that destination. And of course, today, what do? I pull out my cell phone and I open up Google Maps, or Apple Maps. I like Apple Maps. You may use Waze, Google, whatever. And you type in your destination, and you punch it, and my voice is a little Australian man. Now turn left. Wait, anyway, I can't do it. But the Australian man begins to tell me the directions that I'm able to go, and I take a turn left and a turn here, and about the sixth or seventh turn, I'm like, what would I have done without the Google Maps trying to get to Augusta from here? Because everything looks the same, and there's so many twists and turns. And we begin to talk about, what do we do? There's a lot of generations in here, right? What do we do before Google Maps? Then you had MapQuest, right? And you typed in the destination, and you printed out the directions, and you had to look at the printout. And then before that, whew, oh man, you had to get a map. Right? Like an old school map. Open the map out and map out your destination. And what happens if you get lost? You don't have a cell phone to call anybody. You had to pull over at the gas station, right? And go, hey, we're trying to get to Augusta. Can you help us out? Can you show us a direction? And we better write those directions down, right? Because we can't check them once you leave. You got to write those things down. Well, something happened between here and Augusta, and I didn't have any service. The service dropped in the middle of nowhere, and all of a sudden, I tried to refresh the screen, which was a mistake, because when I refreshed the screen, it dropped out, no direction. So I'm like, oh boy, here we go. We're about to get lost. I don't know what it is. But my buddy who was sitting in the passenger seat, he looked up and began to look around, and he goes, oh, I know where we're at. Here we go. Look, you're going to keep going. Two lights down, then you're going to take a left. And so and then he starts telling me directions. I'm like, whoa, slow down. Just tell me when we get there, right? And so when we get there, we get to the two lights, we turn left. And he's like, oh, look, here we go. There's a really cool gas station. You can go in there and get this, get that, whatever. He's like, then you want to take a right. And he begins to tell me the directions all the way, even so much so, the GPS cuts back on. He's like, oh, I know a better way. Look, let me show you. And he starts to show me this better way. And I'm like, man, thank goodness he was sitting next to me. And when you and I talk about this concept of God's general will, what Jesus is trying to get you and I to understand is that he is the way, the truth, and the life. He is our map. And as long as you and I have a deep and intimate relationship with Jesus, he begins to guide us and direct us on our daily lives. He's the one that shows us, okay, now you want to turn here. Now you want to make that decision. Hey, you should have friends with this particular people group, right? Or this particular person. Or hey, you need to watch out for these things for this particular person. Or hey, you need to think about this job or not think about this job, right? Now, all of a sudden, because I have a close relationship with Jesus and I'm understanding the will of God in a general sense, now I'm close enough to Jesus where he can start to guide me and direct me in my daily life. Because God has a will for every single person, as we read in Scripture. I mean, God's called every single person to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. He's called every single person, he says, to love your neighbor as you love yourself, right? He's saying this idea of giving a full devotion to God and then to loving others as we would love ourselves. And then it's a general will of God that all of us would make disciples of all nations. That's the great commission for all of us, that therefore go and make disciples of all nations and baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and to teach them to obey all that I have commanded you, right? And we learn that from Scripture. We learn that from walking with God and talking with God. We read 1 Corinthians 13, and he gives us this incredible depiction of what love looks like. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love keeps no record of wrong. Like, oh, it begins to go through this whole, love never gives up. Love, all these things, right? And it begins to shape us in how you and I should live our lives. And we get this through Scripture. Right? Even Matthew chapter 18, he teaches us how to walk through conflict relationally. All of these different aspects, he's called every single person to some of those. And you and I, we can spend our lives seeking after this will of God and be walking in the will of God for the rest of our lives. You and I, we could make disciples and have whatever vocation is in front of us, right? Like, but we're walking in the will of God, and we're holding to the character of God, and we're making disciples, and wherever we are, say vocationally, or wherever we live, we can still be walking in the will of God. Isn't that a little more freeing for you and I to go, oh, I don't have to have all the details and all of these things, but there is a general rule that God's calling every single one of us to. And he wants to use you and wants to use me. But if we refocus ourselves to seek him first and his righteousness and learn how to have a relationship with him. And now that I understand more of how to walk with God and talk with God, I can now help someone else. Here's how you walk with God. Here's how you talk with him. Here's how you experience him. And so if you're taking notes here, it says, when we walk with God daily, he will begin to give us more specific guidance for our life. But first and foremost, you're going to see why even more here in a few minutes. But the first and foremost, he wants a relationship with us. And he wants that to continue to going. And so many times he calls out the Pharisees because they're doing things in the name of religion, but their hearts are far from God. He's saying, you're saying these things, but your heart, he even uses strong language like whitewashed tombs. And he's like, you're like a dish from the outside. It looks clean, but the inside is dirty. He's like, I want to start with the inside. I want to start with the man. I want to start with the woman. I want to start with their heart, their desires, their character. And then when that comes under the will of God, he's like, then now I'm going to navigate you. Because he's saying, there may be some sin in our lives that God wants to deal with. And he's like, until we deal with that, I don't want to go any further. Right? Like, he's like, I can't put you in these other places of responsibility. We need to deal with this first so that you're walking with me. And I begin to change the heart and the character of who we are. And then God begins to navigate and guide us and direct us. And then as we walk with him, God may lean over and go, hey, I want you to turn left here. I want you to do that. I want you to take this job here. I want you to move here. I want you to do this. But it comes after. Then we move into the specific will of God. And I want to spend the next few moments, next 4 hours, I'm just kidding. We're in just the next few moments looking at five different filters that you and I can use. Five different filters of going, how does God navigate us in the specific will of God? Because I promised you we're going to deal with that question, right? But we had to start with the other one first because it's a better place to start. And then it's going to show us how we can get more specific in the will of God. And some of the things that you and I have to remember, some principles, is that God is always working. He's always working in the real world around us. And when anyone, including ourselves, draws into God, it's because the Holy Spirit is drawing them in. So if somebody comes up to you and asks you a question about God, you know the Holy Spirit's at work. not only in you, but in them as well. And God is always at work. And so we're watching at where God is at work, and then we join him in the work that he is doing. And so one of the first ways that God begins to reveal a specific will to you and I, the first ways is that the if you're taking notes, God will give you a prompting through the Holy Spirit living in you. God will give you a prompting through the Holy Spirit. And that's why it's so important. If we don't have a relationship with God, then we don't have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, right? And so we don't have the power and the presence of God in us to prompt us and to guide us. And now that I'm surrendered to God, the seal of our salvation is the Holy Spirit that is dwelling in us. And so Philippians 2:13 says this, "For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure." It's the Holy Spirit's working in us to help navigate us towards God's will, towards his will, because he's always working. And we have the honor and the privilege to join him in what he is doing. And God will place a prompting on your heart. Sometimes it comes in the form of a conviction, right? It comes in the form of, I see a problem or an issue, and God is just burning inside of my heart. God will initiate or reveal his plan or desire to you, and then you and I have to have the faith to reorient our lives around that prompting, right? Around what God is calling us to do. And as the Holy Spirit begins to speak to us, right? We even see this all throughout Scripture. It may start with a conviction. God may speak to the Apostle Paul, "I want you to go to this city now." Right? The Holy Spirit prompted him, guided him, directing him in that moment. It could come in the form of a thought. It could become in the form of a strong desire in us. I don't know about you, but for me, I have like an entrepreneur mind. And so I have like 3 to 4 great entrepreneur business ideas or like new ministry ideas, like 3 or 4 a week. You know, I'm like, oh, this will be good. Yeah, this will be good. This will be good here, right? But we have to filter that. We have to go, okay, what is my will? And what is God's will? And oftentimes when the Holy Spirit starts prompting you, it won't go away, right? That name will stay on your mind. That name will stay on your heart for a few days. And you're going, oh, I should have listened the first time, right? And reach out to them, whatever it may be. But God will begin to prompt us. It's the Spirit working with our spirit, and he's guiding and directing us. It could be something just for us. Hey, I want you to do this because I'm working in you. And so when I talk about these 5 filters, I can't just look, sit down and go, oh, Emma, this is God's will for your life. Oh, Cameron, this is God's will for your life, right? Because I'm not the Holy Spirit. And the specific will of God, he may call me to be a pastor. He may call you to be a teacher. He may call you to do this or you to be a coach or whatever it may be, right? Because God's specific will is going to look different for different people. But oftentimes it starts with the prompting of the Holy Spirit. And then number 2 is God will guide us through our time in prayer with him. And so as we get that prompting, we immediately take it before God. We say, God, can you give me wisdom on this? Can you give me direction? What do you think about this, God? What does your word say about this? Now I'm talking to God about it. Not only am I talking to God about it, but prayer is also listening, right? I'm listening before God. I'm waiting to hear what he says. And I can't tell you how many times I've had an issue, or just yesterday there was one piece of this message. And I was like, I just want to smooth this out. And so I took a prayer walk and just asked God, what do you think about this? And I'm talking with God through it. And all of a sudden, he just starts to work it out, right? He starts to bring scriptures to mind and different things and different ideas, because praying with God is this two-way road of talking with him and listening with God as well. And he begins to speak through prayer. And number 3, God will speak, confirm, and give boundaries in scripture. When you and I, we just talked about this all, we spent a whole week last week talking, how do I understand the Bible better? And the Bible, 2 Timothy 3:16 says that all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. That God will speak through his word for you and I. And we can read his word, and the Holy Spirit will not give you a prompting that contradicts scripture. That God is not he's the one that breathed this out. So what he's placed in me will not contradict what's in Scripture, right? And so it will confirm maybe what the Spirit is saying in me or prompting me to do, or it may give me boundaries, right, for what I need to do. Just think about dating. Who should I date? Scripture is going to give me boundaries on who I should date, right, and who I should allow to have influence in my life. It's going to confirm that, right? Because I may have desires of, ooh, they're good looking, I should date them. And then I read scripture and I go, maybe that was my desire, not what God wanted, right? It's going to confirm or deny or give boundaries. Scripture enables us and does that. And as we talk about the specific will of God, he will use that over and over again. Also, in number four that we see here, God will use godly community and those who are further along to speak into your life as well. God will use godly people, and I've seen this over and over and over again. God brings the right people at the right time into our lives, and they will speak into our lives. They will help guide and direct. And I say godly people because they know God's word, and they're in God's word. And oftentimes, our answer to prayer will come through people. We're praying for something, and all of a sudden, God will lay it on somebody else's heart, will prompt them with the Holy Spirit, and then they'll come, and all of a sudden, now we're seeing this answered prayer in our life through another person. We see this in Scripture where, in the Old Testament, Samuel and Eli, right? He's calling this young Samuel to be a prophet, and he's learning how to hear the voice of God, and he's laying in bed, and he hears a voice, and he thinks somebody is there, and in fact, he thinks it's Eli, so he keeps running over to Eli's room going, hey, do you need me? And he's like, no, what are you doing? Go lay down. He does it three or four times. And then finally, Eli, because he's further along, he's been doing this a lot longer, he goes, oh, God's trying to talk to you. Go back and say, here I am, Lord. Your servant is listening. And so he goes back and he says this, and then God begins to speak to him during that time. We see this in the New Testament when the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 9, he's headed to the city called Damascus, and he was a terrorist who was going after Christians, arresting them, all of these things. And God radically changed his life. A light hit him, and he hit the ground, and he hears the voice of God, says, why do you persecute me? And then he goes, it's like scales went over his eyes. He couldn't see for 3 days, and he's left with his own thoughts, right, sitting there. And then the Holy Spirit puts something on the heart of Ananias. And he goes, Ananias, I want you to go grab Paul. He's ready. And I want you to connect him to the local church. And God used other godly people. And he came, talked to the Apostle Paul, and says, hey, God's got a plan. I want to connect you to the local church. Let's start discipling you because God's going to use you. And then we see God takes the Apostle Paul, who was Saul, and turns him around and uses him for his glory whenever Paul surrendered his will to God and walked in the will of God. And God used him to write most of the New Testament and to plant churches over and over again. And we see how God began to use him in incredible ways. I can even think about my own life. I remember, y'all remember 2020? Pretty smooth time, right? Smooth sailing? No, right? It was a great, especially for a young church plant that's portable, right? Like so many questions, so many things that begin to happen. And I just remember carrying the weight. We didn't have a place to meet. We were meeting just online. And then, of course, our country was more divided and all of these different aspects, just feeling the weight of the world. And Dave, in my driveway, he and I are talking. And he goes, you know, he's just encouraging me the whole time. He's such an encourager. But he's like, you know, God's called us to the Bridge Church, and he's called us to the Low Country. And he says, so let's be faithful where God has called us. And I just remember in that moment, God spoke through Dave to me to go, okay, let's focus on our people. Let's focus on who God has sent us here in this area and right now. And it just shifted the perspective, right? And then God began to use that, and he used a godly person who was further along than me to speak into my life and to help give wisdom in a particular situation. And then the last one is that God will use the events in our life to speak to us. He'll use circumstances, he'll use events, whatever it may be, good or bad, he will use those to redirect or to guide, to mature us, whatever it may be in our lives. And a lot of times, too, is we can see all of that begin to happen and play out, and then we may be praying for something, and then God changed the circumstance. And then now we know God has revealed that I need to step into it, right? I need to either surrender to it, step into it, whatever it may be, because God is at work here. And I remember in my life, I started out as a school teacher, and then I resigned as a school teacher and went into student ministry. And I started out with just doing middle school ministry. And I was doing that middle school ministry for a little while, and I was helping preach on Sunday mornings in adult church. I called it big church, right? But adult church, and I spoke one Sunday, and then when I got done preaching one Sunday, I felt like God placed it on my heart to go in on Monday because they were struggling to find someone's stick in the high school ministry and just student ministry as a whole. And I'd been kind of staying in my lane and trying to let them do their thing. And so I just felt like the Holy Spirit said, I want you to go on a Monday and just tell them that you're available to help in the other ministry as well. The other ministry, just to take that step in. And so I walk in on Monday and I meet the person who is over me, direct report, and I begin to talk to them and let them know, hey, this is what I feel like the Holy Spirit said to me, and I just wanted to let you know that. And she said, well, the crazy thing is, Greg Toller, who's the lead pastor, she's like, he called me Sunday night and said, I think we need to move Daniel more into that role so that we can, you know, fill in the gap some here in some of these moments. And for me, the events, right, and the circumstances began to change. And God spoke through people. And then I could have been like, I already got enough on my plate. I just need to step back, right? Like, I could have done that, but I knew in that moment God was moving here, and I need to reorient my life to join God in what He is doing, right? Like, now I'm surrendering to His will and His circumstance, and so now I am surrendering to that and taking a step on faith, because I don't know what the future holds, but Jesus does. And as He's guiding and directing me, I'm joining Him in His work. And we begin to see God do a work in us that we could not see. We could not predict, right? And for good reason. Because we can't see everything, right? I'm just one person in one moment of time. But God sees everything. I just see one piece of the puzzle. But God sees the entire puzzle, and He is saying, yes, I want you to do this, and you to be here, and you to do that, and you to make this decision. And we're going, wow. And then we step in faith and respond to what God is doing in us, and then we get to see a small glimpse of the bigger picture. And that's when we step back and go, I get to be a part of this. Like, God, you're using me in that way. You're using them in that way. I cannot believe this, right? And it begins to guide and direct us and show us a more specific will for your life and for my life. And so I can't give you a direct answer for you as an individual, but you and I can start to seek God and His will and start to look and experience Him on a daily basis through these different ways, through the prompting of the Holy Spirit. And I have to learn to walk with the Holy Spirit, right? I have to learn to hear the voice of God through Scripture and through prayer and through being in church and walking with godly people and noticing, right? And I have to notice what is happening around me. And for me, you know, oftentimes God convicts me of going, hey, you can't be so busy that you can't even see where I'm working, right? He's saying, I'm looking around going, okay, this is where God is at work. And I'm responding to that in faith. And when you and I do that, we get to experience, I call it the thrill of obedience, where we walk in obedience to God, and He starts to use us for His will and for His glory, and we become a part of a story that is much bigger than us. There's a grand generational story that will happen for thousands of years that we don't even know how God's going to use our piece of the puzzle. But if we will trust Him and trust Him with our lives, He will begin to use us in incredible ways. But it takes the first step for you and I of going, you know what? I'm going to seek the heart of God. I'm going to seek Him first in His righteousness. And then He's going to start to show me. He's going to navigate me in that. And anytime we feel overwhelmed, we feel like I don't know what to do, we can always go back to this. God is the author and perfecter of our faith. And we see, read in Hebrews, I'm fixing my eyes on Him. And I'm walking with Him because I can always get back to the general will of God, right? I can always go back and get back underneath His will and walking closely with Him. And when I do that, then I'm back with Him again, right? And as He starts to work through His general will, then it becomes more specific in my life, right? So anytime I feel like I'm derailed or I'm confused or unclear, whatever it may be, I go back to this principle. Seek His kingdom first and His righteousness, and He will begin to navigate and unravel all of those things for us. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Him. He's saying, seek me first. And then He begins to show us every step of the way. But you and I have to have the faith to step into those moments. So I want to pray for us here this morning and just ask God to reveal what next step he's asking us to take. It could be that, hey, the first step that I need to take is to surrender my life to Jesus. I've never entered into a real life, everyday relationship with God. And I'm going to give you that opportunity here in just in a few moments. Or maybe for you, you've been following God, but you're going, you know what? Maybe I've moved my focus off of God. And I want to move my focus back onto Him. I'm going to seek after Him. Or maybe you are seeking after Him, but you're going, you know what? I'm seeking after Him, but now I'm looking at my life through the lens of these five filters. And where I'm trying to notice where God is working, and then I'm gonna join Him in how He is working and how He is moving. And so I want to pray for us. And if you've never given your life to Jesus before, we read in Scripture that every single one of us falls short and we're in need of a Savior. We can read the Ten Commandments. We can read the Sermon on the Mount where we fall short, where we've lied before, had hatred in our heart, or dishonored our parents, or whatever it may be, right? We fall short, and we are in need of a Savior. And Jesus says that I have come, and those who place their faith in me, then He will set us free from those moments. He'll set us free from the shame and the guilt that we feel from sin, and we enter into a relationship with Him. Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, then you will be saved. And if you want to start a relationship with Jesus today, I just want to pray with you here this morning. If you'll just pray this prayer with me. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I know that my life has fallen short. God, I ask that you would save me. God, I ask that you would continue to change me and give me guidance. God, I believe that you died for me. I believe that you rose again. God, and I give you my life. And if you prayed that prayer here this morning, I'd love for you to fill out a Connect card, and I'd love to follow with you. Stop by, come see me in the Connect Center. I believe that God wants to start this journey with you. And I'll pray for the rest of us here. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for guiding us, that you love us so much, that you're in the details of our lives, God. God, I pray that we would have clarity over what your will is, God, and that we would walk under your will. That your will is not a specific destination, but yet it's a relationship with you. It's not my will, God, but your will be done. And I pray that you show us and help us to understand what that looks like, and help our hearts and our minds and our eyes, God, and our bodies to see and to respond where you're at work in our lives. And help us to join you in what you're doing. God, we love you so much. We pray that you would speak to our hearts. And we ask all this in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Let's stand and worship together.